Warning, you are about to listen to a life-changing session of the Think and Grow Rich Global Mastermind podcast. Any mind-blowing income, health, happiness, and otherwise earth-shattering testimonials of total transformation are not meant to serve as a guarantee of what will happen in your life as you continue to plug into this podcast. Rather, they're meant to give you an idea of what's possible. Bear in mind, results are not guaranteed, they are earned. Be forewarned, common side effects of listening to this podcast may include increased mental alertness, random and unexplained feelings of joy, a crystal clear sense of purpose in life, spontaneous outbursts of laughter, obscene amounts of new and exciting monetary deposits, and other ridiculously awesome symptoms of living a purpose-filled life. Please enjoy the show.
If you want to get motivated, if you want to get zeroed in on your goal, try this affirmation. I have it within me right now to get where I want to be, and I'm already moving towards my better future. I have it within me right now to get where I want to be, and I'm already moving towards my better future. What's up, moneymakers? This is Mahara Tucker in Atlanta, Georgia. And you're on the Think and Grow Rich call. Our host, Mr. Paul Hutchings, will be along shortly. But for now, let's get this thing kicked off. Tell us your name and where you're calling in from.
Good morning, Mahara. This is Carrie Moore from Arkansas.
Hey, Carrie Moore. Good morning.
Good morning.
Aloha from Arkansas, too. God, I love all these Arkansas people.
Elliot, what's happening?
Just good things.
Good things, Elliot.
Good morning, Mahara. I have it within me. Elizabeth from Virginia.
Elizabeth, you have it within you.
Yes, indeed.
Good morning, love.
Good morning, Mahara. This is Nancy from Michigan.
Hi, lovely Nancy. You have it within you right now.
Yes, I do.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mahara. Good morning, Think and Grow Rich family. This is Amy in Vegas.
Hey, Sunshine.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Elizabeth.
Morning, Mahara. It's Charity from Bronx, New York. How you doing this wonderful Wednesday?
Hey, Charity. I'm having a wonderful morning. We're glad to have you with us.
Thank you.
Who else is stepping out on the Think and Grow Rich call?
Good morning, Mahara. It's Oliver from Miami.
Hey, Oliver. How's it going?
What's going on? What's going on? Good morning,
good
people.
Stuff going on. Welcome to the call, man.
Thank you. Thank you.
Good morning, Mahara, and Think and Grow Rich family. Larry and Wendy, McKinney, Texas.
Hi, Larry. Hi, Hello. Wendy. Good morning.
Good morning. We're sleeping in this morning.
For you. Tell us your name, where you're calling in from.
Christy Kelly, Fort Lauderdale.
Good morning in Fort Lauderdale.
Morning.
Welcome to the call.
Good morning. This is Bella in Florida. Good morning, everyone.
Hi, Bella. Good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning, my husband. Good morning. This is Mitch family. This is Nicole from North Carolina.
Hey, Nicole. Good morning.
Good morning.
Talk to me, Think and Grow Richie Ann. Tell us your name and where you're calling in from.
Good morning, Myra. Emmanuel from Dallas.
Hey, Emmanuel. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Think and Grow Rich family. This is Isabel Strada.
Hi, Isabel. Good morning.
Good morning.
This is Jorge from Maryland.
Who is that in Maryland?
Correct.
Good morning. Welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mahara. Good morning, Thinking Grow Rich family, Joe Dalla.
Hey, Joe Dalla.
Good morning. Woo-hoo. Lori from Wenatchee.
Hey, Lori. Good morning.
Good morning.
Mike from Baltimore.
Hi, Mike. Good morning.
Good morning. It's awesome.
It is awesome today.
Revving it up. Who's doing their lawn?
R2D2. It's R2D2.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Is that Paul?
Oh, yeah.
Hey, Paul.
Hey, guys, hold on here.
There are dogs.
Save us.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, good morning. It is wonderful Wednesday, December 16th, 2015. How y'all doing today? You guys having a good day so far? Hopefully you are up and at 'em, and maybe, you know, maybe you've been to the gym this morning. Maybe you got the blood pumping through your veins. Maybe you've read a little something that's lifted your mind, that's lifted your heart, that's lifted your spirit. Maybe you're just getting out of bed and you're ready to have your mind and soul invigorated by the people on this call and the words on this call. And however you're coming to this call this morning, I just want to say welcome. Welcome to our family. Welcome to our community. Welcome to the Think and Grow Rich call. I believe, guys, that we're changing lives on this call. And I can say that with some authority because my life is continually changed by this call. My life is continually changed by the information that we go through on this call. My life is continually enhanced and improved by the words that come through the lines on this call. So I'm grateful to be here. I'm grateful that you're here. I'm excited about what changes might happen inside our minds and inside our hearts on this morning as we unify together, coming together with one another for the purpose of change. You know, I was thinking about some interesting lines from, you know, the old good book they call it, you know, the Bible. And this isn't a religious call. However, I do believe this is a spiritual call. I believe a lot of us on this line are spiritual people. You know, we seek spiritual truths. We seek understandings that are a little bit deeper than the surface stuff that we see in our lives on a day-to-day basis. And I believe that we can find spiritual truth in a lot of different areas. I believe we can find it in old books that have been written down by great people. I believe we can find it in, you know, different books that have been passed down to us through different traditions. And, you know, one of my Jim Rohn, you know, he always used to say the Bible is one of the greatest books because it's a collection of stories. He said there's examples, you know, do what these people did, good examples, how people made good choices and, you know, had good results. And then he says on the other side of the ledger, there's examples of, you know, warnings. Don't do what these clods did. You know, these guys, they made poor choices. They messed it all up. So he says, you know, the Bible's a pretty good book to study. And so I'm definitely not a pro at the Bible. However, I do pick it up from time to time and see what I can find in it. And I wanted to share just one thought with you guys as we're kind of getting the call kicked off this morning that reminds me of what we do on this call. You know, there's some interesting phrases in the Bible, both New Testament and the Old Testament, that for whatever reason my mind is sort of like connected with each other. It's kind of like drawn this this line, you know, from this phrase to that phrase to this book to that book. And in the beginning of the New Testament, you know, there's an interesting phrase that says, in the beginning was the Word. It was interesting that it says, in the beginning was the Word. And then if you go back to the first part of the Old Testament, which is the first book of Genesis or second book somewhere in there, it says, you know, the story says that God said, let there be light. So God used words to say, let there be light. And then the story goes, there was light. So I remember hearing Jim Rohn talk about how he said, it seems like words create life. And then the other day I was reading a little bit further on in the story, and it goes on to say, and God said, you know, let there be life in the waters. And there was life in the waters. And then God said, let the herb bring forth life and replicate after itself. And so there was life in the plants and the herbs. And then later on it says, let the fruit tree bring forth fruit. And there was fruit. And so as I was studying that, I was like, wow, you know, it seems like words create light. You know, according to the story, God said, let there be light, and there was light. And further on in the story, it says, let there be life, and there was life. So it seems to me that maybe words create light, and words create life. And if you think about this, guys, for a moment, is it true that words can create light? Is it true that words can come along at the right time and in the right way into a mind that maybe has been darkened a little bit, and the right words can sort of like reach inside someone's heart and someone's mind and flip on a light switch so that their soul becomes illuminated? Is that true, that words can create light? It seems to me, when I think about my story, you know, how I'd been struggling for 5 years in home business, trying to figure things out, and I was stumbling around in the dark. I was tripping and falling on things that were scattered across the floor. You know, like if you ever go into a room that's dark and you can't find the light, and maybe it's a room that you've had kids in, and so there's toys laying all over the floor, and you're trying to find the light, and you just keep tripping on stuff. That's how I feel like I was my first 5 years of home business. And then comes along an experience, which was one of the lowest points in my life, it seems, where I dropped to my knees at the side of my kid's bed, tears streaming down my face while they were sleeping, praying to God for help out of my situation. And then some words came into my mind, and those words had said something to the effect of, Paul, you need to begin a serious study of the book Think and Grow Rich. And so I started to study the book seriously, and those words at that particular time in my life came into my mind and my heart and sort of like flipped on light switches and showed me things that I hadn't seen before and helped me to understand things that I needed to understand on a little bit deeper level in order for me to move forward in the way that maybe I was destined to move forward in. They taught me a little bit about, you know, how to have faith and how to believe and how to see something in my mind that wasn't created in my reality. As a matter of fact, I see something in my mind that had no evidence in my reality to support it. I was living in a trailer, jobless, a few hundred dollars a month coming in, family struggling. And somehow that book came into my mind and flipped on these light switches and said, hey, look, it doesn't matter what's going on in your life right now. It doesn't matter if you don't have the money that you want to have right now. It doesn't matter if you don't have the success that you want to have right now. What matters is that you're able to hold up this light, this flashlight, and see off into the future and use light with your soul, with the eyes of your soul, to see something better and to shine light on it clearly and to believe it's possible, Paul. That's what matters. And those words came into my life at that point and turned on the light. So it seems like to me, guys and gals, words can create light. Maybe it's not just an old story that's in an old book that says God said, let there be light, and there was light. Maybe there's a little bit more meaning to that than we might catch at first glance. What about words can create life? Guys, can the right words come along at the right time and sort of like reach down spiritual arms inside of us and grab our very souls and shake them awake so that we can step forward and live? Can words do that? Sure seems like they can, you know, sure seems like they can. As I think back to my story again, you know, back when I was working in a cubicle, making $11.09 an hour, frustrated with my job, not happy with the way my life was working out, living in a trailer, family to support, not enjoying the criticisms and the condemnations that were coming down from my superiors, not enjoying the, you know, the butt kissing and the schmoozing that they wanted me to do to be able to advance. I wasn't enjoying any of that. And one of my friends from Burundi, Africa, went to the library and picked up an audio program called The Art of Exceptional Living by Jim Rohn. And I remember driving back and forth to work, you know, 30 minutes one way, 30 minutes the other, waking up early in the morning, 5 a.m., you know, to get my slacks and white shirt and tie on and do my hair, you know, because that's what they wanted in the office. I remember driving back and forth listening to that audio. And Jim Rohn came into my life and he said things like, you get paid for bringing value to the marketplace. You know, he said things like, you know, if you don't have room in your if you don't have room in your house for a library, clean out a shelf in your closet and start stacking books in there and call that your library. And you know what? Those words came into my mind at that time, and they lifted my life. They caused me to start to make better decisions, better choices. They started to cause me to reach down in my soul and ask myself, Paul, what do you got inside here? What do you really want to do in life? How do you really want to live? Do you want to go through life in a slumber, you know, just kind of like making choices because other people tell you to make choices? Or do you want to reach down and wake up your soul and live? And those words that Jim Rohn spoke to me along with other words, it seems like they created life for me, because they inspired me. So guys, when I think about this call and the books that we study and the things that we share and the mastermind portion of the call, and as I think about the everyday heroes that come out every day and speak words of light and life into us through the definite major purpose and the self-confidence formula, it seems like what we're really doing on this call, guys and gals, is we are creating light and we are creating life for one another. You know, there's one other interesting phrase in the New Testament that I'll share with you guys that I mentioned from time to time on this call. Maybe you heard it before, but maybe it'll touch you in a different way than it has in the past based on the context that we've kind of gone through in the first part of this call. There's two other words in the New Testament that have really sunk down deep into my soul. It's like they're seeds, and they're just like, you know, I'm doing the best that I can to plant them down deep so that they can take root. And these two other words are speak light. Speak light. You think about this for a moment, my friends. If you think about this for a moment, how will your world be different? How will your future be different? How will your mind and heart and soul and feeling and attitude about life be different when you begin to speak more light to yourself? When you begin to speak more light upon your future? When you begin to speak more light to the people around you, your children, your spouse, your prospects, your team, your organization, your employees? How will life be different as you begin to speak more light? And I think that you can see, how will your life be different when you make the decision to only allow people who are speaking light to enter your mind and your heart? How can the world be different, my friends, when we make that simple decision to follow those two words, to speak light to the people around us? I don't know for sure, but gosh, when I think about that, it sure seems to me that if words can create light so people can see, if words can create life so people can live more fully, it seems like to me the more light we speak, the better the light in our lives can be, the brighter the light in our lives can shine, and the more life we can speak into ourselves and the people around us so that we can all live more full or live more abundantly, like Jesus said. You know, another spot in that good old book says, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Isn't that interesting phrase, that we could have life more abundantly? So, guys, I believe this is a powerful call, and I believe that maybe this morning we're going to see new things. We're going to live. We're going to make decisions to live in a different way. That's what can happen as we open ourselves up to the true power of the spoken word. So thank you guys for being here, and I'm excited about what we're going to experience on this call together here in the next 45 minutes or so. So with that, guys, let me open up the lines. I want to know, are you guys excited about having more light in your life? If you are, let me hear you into the phone as I unmute the lines right now.
You're invading.
Sounds like you guys are ready. All right, hey, let's go through our definite purpose and self-confidence formula. Who's got that? Star 6 and come on out if you've got that ready to lead us through that this morning.
Good morning, Paul.
Hey, good morning. Who is this?
This is Carrie.
Carrie, you're awesome. Hey, thanks for being here. Go ahead. I'm going to mute my line while you take it away.
Okay, my major definite purpose. By the first day of, I will have in my position, which will come to me in various amounts from time to time during the interim. In exchange for this, I will give the most efficient service of which I am capable, rendering the fullest possible quantity and the best possible quality in the service in the capacity of. I believe that I will have this in my position. My faith is so strong that I can now see this before my eyes. I can touch it with my hands, and it's now waiting transfer to me at the time and in the proportions that I deliver the service I intend to render for it. I'm awaiting a plan by which to accumulate this, and I will follow that plan when it is received. Self-confidence formula. First, I know that I have the ability to achieve my objects of my definite purpose in life. Therefore, I demand of myself persistent, continuous action towards its attainment, and I here and now promise to render such action. Second, I realize the dominating thoughts of my mind will eventually reproduce themselves in outward physical action and gradually transform themselves into physical reality. Therefore, I will concentrate my thoughts for 30 minutes daily upon the task of thinking of the person I intend to become, thereby creating in my mind a clear mental picture of that person. Third, I know through the principle of auto-suggestion, any desire that I persistently hold in my mind will eventually seek expression through some practical means of attaining the object back of it. Therefore, I will devote 10 minutes daily to demanding of myself the development of self-confidence. Fourth, I clearly written down the description of my definite chief aim in life, and I will never stop trying until I shall develop sufficient self-confidence for its attainment. Fifth, I fully realize that no wealth or position can long endure unless built upon truth and justice. Therefore, I will engage in no transaction which does not benefit all whom it affects. I will succeed by attracting to myself the forces I wish to use and the cooperation of other people. I will induce others to serve me because of my willingness to serve others. I will eliminate hatred, envy, jealousy, selfishness, and cynicism by developing love for all humanity, because I know that a negative attitude towards others can never bring me success. I will cause others to believe in me because I will believe in them and in myself. I will sign my name to this formula, commit it to memory, and repeat it aloud once a day with full faith that it will gradually influence my thoughts and actions so I can become a self-reliant and successful person. Amen.
Amen, Carrie. Thank you so much for doing that. Hey, guys, do you believe in Carrie? If so, one second. Let's give Carrie a little bit of light as we let her know that we do believe in her. Hold on one second. to tell you guys, the energy on the line this morning is electric. So thank you for that. Well, gosh, guys, I just feel like this might be a very, very powerful call today, which I'm excited about. Okay, hey, let's get to work. We are in the Law of Success, 1925 version. We're on page 172 of 1170 in the ebook copy. And if you're looking at the little numbers at the bottom of the page, we're on page 43. And Dr. Hill's teaching us right now about definite purpose. And he's just gone through the psychological viewpoint. And he says, so much for the psychological viewpoint of a definite purpose. Let us now turn to the economic side of the question. If a steamship lost its rudder in mid-ocean and began circling around, it would soon exhaust its fuel supply without reaching shore, despite the fact that it would use up enough energy to carry it to shore and back several times. The man who labors without a definite purpose that is backed up by a definite plan for its attainment resembles the ship that has lost its rudder. Hard labor and good intentions are not sufficient to carry a man through to success. For how may a man be sure that he has attained success unless he has established in his mind some definite object that he wishes? Every well-built house started in the form of a definite purpose, plus a definite plan in the nature of a set of blueprints. Imagine what would happen if one tried to build a house by the haphazard method without plans. Workmen would be in each other's way. Building material would be piled all over the lot before the foundation was completed. And everybody on the job would have a different notion as to how the house ought to be built. Result, chaos and misunderstandings and cost that would be prohibitive. Yet, had you ever stopped to think that most people finish school, take up employment, or enter a trade or profession without the slightest conception of anything that even remotely resembles a definite purpose or a definite plan? In view of the fact that science has provided reasonably accurate ways and means of analyzing character and determining the life work for which people are best fitted, does it not seem a modern tragedy that 95% of the adult population of the world is made up of men and women who are failures because they have not found their proper niches in the world's work? If success depends upon power, and if power is organized effort, and if the first step in the direction of organization is a definite purpose, then one may easily see why such a purpose is essential. Until a man or woman selects a definite purpose in life, he or she dissipates the energies and spreads their thoughts over so many subjects and in so many different directions that they lead not to power, but to indecision and weakness. With the aid of a small reading glass, you can teach yourself a great lesson on the value of organized effort. Through the use of such a glass, you can focus the sun rays on a definite spot so strongly that they will burn a hole through a plank. Remove the glass, which represents the definite purpose, and the same rays of sun may shine on that plank for a million years without burning it. 1,000 electric dry batteries, when properly organized and connected together with wires, will produce enough power to run a good-sized piece of machinery for several hours. But take those same cells, singly, disconnected, and not one of them would exert enough energy to turn the machinery over once. The faculties of your mind might properly be likened to those dry cells. When you organize your faculties according to the plan laid down in the 16 lessons of this reading course on the Law of Success and direct them toward the attainment of a definite purpose in life, you then take advantage of the cooperative or accumulative principle out of which power is developed, which is called organized effort. Andrew Carnegie's advice was this: place all your eggs in one basket and then watch the basket to see that no one kicks it over. By that advice, he meant, of course, that we should not dissipate any of our energies by engaging in sidelines. Carnegie was a sound economist, and he knew that most men would do well if they so harnessed and directed their energies that some one thing would be done well. When the plan back of this reading course was first born, I remember taking the first manuscript to a professor of the University of Texas, and in a spirit of enthusiasm, I suggested to him that I had discovered a principle that would be of aid to me in every public speech I delivered thereafter, because I would be better prepared to organize and marshal my thoughts. He looked at the outline of the 15 points for a few minutes and then turned to me and said, "Yes, your discovery is going to help you make better speeches, but that is not all it will do. It will help you become a more effective writer, for I have noticed in your previous writings a tendency to scatter your thoughts. For instance, if you started to describe a beautiful mountain yonder in the distance, you would be apt to sidetrack your description by calling attention to a beautiful bed of wild flowers, or a running brook, or a singing bird, detouring here and there, zigzag fashion, before finally arriving at the proper point from which to view the mountain. In the future, you are going to find it much less difficult to describe an object, whether you are speaking or writing, because your 15 points represent the very foundation of organization." There's a quote here on the preceding page. It says, "The best compensation for doing things is the ability to do more." Continuing on, "A man who had no legs once met a man who was blind. To prove conclusively that the lame man was a man of vision, he proposed to the blind man that they form an alliance that would be of great benefit to both. 'You let me climb upon your back,' said he to the blind man. 'Then I will use your legs, and you may use my eyes. Between the two of us, we will get along more rapidly. Out of allied effort comes greater power. This is a point that is worthy of much repetition, because it forms one of the most important parts of the foundation of this reading course. The great fortunes of the world have been accumulated through the use of this principle called allied effort. That which one man can accomplish single-handed during an entire lifetime is but meager at best, no matter how well organized that man may be. But that which one man may accomplish through the principle of alliance with other men is practically without limitation. That mastermind to which Carnegie referred during my interview with him was made up of more than a score of minds. In that group of men of practically every temperament and inclination, in that group were men of practically every temperament and inclination. Each man was there to play a certain part, and he did nothing else. There was perfect understanding and teamwork between these men. It was Carnegie's business to keep harmony among them, and he did it wonderfully well. If you are familiar with the game of football, you know, of course, that the winning team is the one that best coordinates the efforts of its players. Teamwork is the thing that wins. It is the same in the great game of life. In your struggle for success, you should keep constantly in mind the necessity of knowing what it is that you want, of knowing precisely what is your definite purpose, and the value of the principle of organized effort in the attainment of that which constitutes your definite purpose. In a vague sort of way, nearly everyone has a definite purpose, namely, the desire for money. But this is not a definite purpose, within the meaning of the term as it is used in this lesson. Before your purpose could be considered definite, even though that purpose were the accumulation of money, you would have to reach a decision as to the precise method through which you intend to accumulate that money. It would be insufficient for you to say that you would make money by going into some sort of business. You would have to decide just what line of business. You would also have to decide just where you would locate. You would also have to decide the business policies under which you would conduct your business. In answering the question, "What is your definite purpose in life?" that appears in the questionnaire which I have used for the analysis of more than 16,000 people, many answered about as much as follows, quote, "My definite purpose in life is to be of as much service to the world as possible and earn a good living," close quote. That answer is about as definite as a frog's conception of the size of the universe is accurate. The object of this lesson is not to inform you as to what your life work should be, for indeed, this could be done with accuracy only after you had been completely analyzed, but it is intended as a means of impressing upon your mind a clear conception of the value of a definite purpose of some nature, and of the value of understanding the principle of organized effort as a means of attaining the necessary power with which to materialize your definite purpose. And friends, I think that's a great place for us to pause and jump into the mastermind portion of the call. So let's do that. Keep in mind, this is not a company-specific call, so please no mention of company names, system names, leader names, unless leaders are part of our community here, and brevity and relevance, always appreciated in your comments. What stuck out to you in this call so far as we've gone through some different thoughts and allowed Napoleon Hill to kind of enter into our mind and stir up the soil a little bit, right? Isn't that kind of what he did? He stirred up the soil so that the soil of our mind and hearts could be prepared for different seeds that might be planted there. What's been planted in your mind? Has anything sprouted? Have any flowers popped up? Any plants? Any trees? Excited to hear what's going on in your mind as we've dissected this definite purpose on a little bit deeper level. I'm going to go ahead and open up the lines. One second. Hold on here.
I'm going up north.
Star 6, who's first? Come on out.
Good morning, Thelma. This is Thelma.
Hey, Thelma. How are you?
I am very well, thank you. Good morning, Think and Grow Rich family. My observation is kind of a short one, and it goes back to what you were talking about when you started, and that's, you know, the power of words, you know, and how words can speak light and speak life, you know, and in association with, you know, the last part of what we just discussed, which is purpose, I believe, you know, just like you do, that words can speak life and they can speak light. But at the same time, words applied with a certain purpose, you know, can either, you know, create or destroy, you know, and that's something that we need to also be very mindful and aware of. You know, words have the power to, you know, create light and to create life, but it also has the power, you know, to destroy. And I think in the Bible, it also talks about, you know, our tongue being like the, you know, the, like the, what you call it, forgot the word, that steers a ship, you know, can direct it one way or the other way. I'm sure you know what I'm talking about, but I can't put my thoughts together right now. But yeah, that's likewise, when you have a definite purpose, you know, I mean, if you just, like you said, use random words like, you know, I want to be able to serve the world and make enough money, you know, to make a living. Those are words, but without purpose, without specificity to the words, without, you know, faith, without certain other factors, our words can either fall to the ground and fall, you know, amongst weeds and not yield any purposeful results, or they can get choked up, or, you know, they can have other things can happen along with our words. So it's not just applying words, is applying words with a purpose to actually create, you know. That's something very important that I thought I should, you know, add to your earlier observation. Thank you.
That is a deep observation, Thelma. Thank you for that. The purpose of our words to create, the definite purpose to create. Oh, I love that. Thank you for that, Thelma.
Good morning, Miss Bell in Florida.
Hey, good morning. Bell, is that right?
Mm-hmm. This is first time stepping out. What I like is about the part where the blind man and the lady.
Mm-hmm.
So they got greater power between both of them. They could do more, get more accomplished. So I like that.
Wasn't that awesome? I love that too.
Okay.
Thank you. Appreciate you highlighting that for us.
Yeah, I appreciate you.
And, you know, I think that's another illustration. Like, you guys, I don't know if you guys have heard, like, you know, like, when you study organizations and corporations and businesses, you know, oftentimes you'll find that people say that the number one job of the leader is to be the visionary, to be able to see ahead into the future, and to be able to, you know, speak life into the people and the employees and the board and all the people around them, is to be the visionary. So it's sort of like that metaphor that Napoleon Hill just gave us, where, you know, the guy has no legs but he can see, and he gets on top of the man who has legs but can't see very well, and he sees and he has the vision and he, you know, speaks that into people. That's such a great metaphor, and it seems to be really accurate when you look at organizations. The person at the top or the founder usually is the visionary, and that seems to be their chief job. So, interesting. Thank you for that. Star 6, who's next? Come on out. And we all need each other too, right? Like, that's another thing to remember, is that the visionary can't bring the vision to pass without many hands working together behind that common purpose. So, yeah, it's just another thought. We all need each other in this process of creating great things in life. Star 6, come on out. Any other thoughts?
Elizabeth.
Hey, Elizabeth. Good morning.
Good morning, Paul. I remember when I was a little girl in science class, and one of the experiments that we had to do was to take that magnifying glass, and especially when you had paper or some leaves, and go to the window with the sunlight coming in and direct that sunbeam in onto the leaves or onto the paper. And it was just total amazement to realize that the sun in the sky is coming through the window, coming through the magnifying glass, going to the paper or the leaves, and causing them to burn. And that was just so astonishing. It shows you how organized effort is power. If you have ideas going here and there and all over the place, they don't get a chance to come together and generate the power that's needed. But if you are focused and give these ideas a chance, or your purpose a chance, that it will come into reality in a strong way. So just be careful about just having so many ideas and keeping that. Everybody can have ideas, but to get them in an organized effort to really become a reality, that's the quest. That's what we have to do. Back to you, Paul.
Love it. Thank you, Elizabeth.
Hey, Paul. It's David Dom.
Hey, good morning, David.
Good morning, sir. So I think piggybacking on what Elizabeth just said, something that really stood out to me was Andrew Carnegie's quote, which was, you know, put all your eggs in one basket and then just make sure no one, you know, kicks it over. And it ties in with the word definite under, you know, in regards to purpose. You know, this is dragging me up, but my definite purpose in life is to be of as much service to the world as possible and earn a good living. What he says about that is hilarious. It's just not focused and it's not definite. And I think as we learn more about what our purpose is fully, then we're able to see, oh, my purpose is a lot more than just making money. And obviously we get to kind of, you know, again, I think the word focus is huge. That's what really stood out to me. I don't have much else than that, but thanks and appreciate you.
Hey, that's a great insight there, David. Thanks for sharing that. And I'm guilty of it. Oh, go ahead. Who is that? Come on out.
No, go ahead, Paul.
No, I just want to say I'm guilty of saying that to myself. I just want to be as much service to as many people as humanly possible. I think it's natural, right? So anyway, who is that? Go ahead.
That was Larry Coates.
Hey, Larry.
Good morning.
So, you know, you started out this morning talking about scriptures and that you refer to them from time to time. So as we're just bringing this topic up now, I was reminded of this whole discussion in Corinthians. It says, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I'll pick out the highlights. Now, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, cease to be a part of the body. And he goes on, skipping down a little bit. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. The head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem weaker are indispensable. And that's what this whole mastermind is about. And that's what I think Hill was saying, that there were all these people in Andrew Carnegie's organization that worked together, and his task was to bring everybody into a right understanding, and that each of them brought their own separate disciplines to that mastermind. So that's what we should be seeking when we're looking for the people to be parts, members of our mastermind team. Back to you, Paul.
Hey, Larry, thank you so much for sharing that. You helped me to have another insight there. You know, the visionary that I follow in the business that I'm in, I've heard him say oftentimes, you know, to the people, myself included being one of the people, he said, I am no more important than you. I am no better than you. And he says, we're all, every single person, the brand new person joining is just as important as me. And in relation to that metaphor that you just shared, isn't that true? Like, if you're the head, what good is a head without a body?
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Like, it's all important. We're all important in the creation of, you know, the thing that we're creating. So thank you for that, Larry. Appreciate that.
So if anybody would like to read and fill in some of the details in there, you can find it in Corinthians chapter 12, I think the beginning of verse 8, I think it was.
Awesome.
Hello, hi, this is Anthony Williams from beautiful Clearwater, Florida.
Buenos dias, mi amigo.
Ah, buenos dias, brother. What is going on, Paul Hutchins? What's going on? Thank you, Girl Rich family. How you doing this morning, Paul?
Doing good. How about you, man?
Oh, man, I'm doing wonderful, Paul. And, I mean, this is a powerful call thus far. All the wisdom that was shared in the reading. Few things that stuck out to me when you first came out and you started talking about light and words being a light. One of the things that Bible verse points out to me, and of course, it's a psychological principle, because if we think about the principles of the conscious mind and the subconscious mind, when we talk about words, you know, if the words get down into the subconscious mind, it leads the body onto its proper action. Like, you know, I was reading The Laws of Success. And come to find out, like, when I, was doing teaching videos and everything else like that, like, I started using examples from the Laws of Success and not even realizing that I remembered it, but my subconscious mind remembered it and was bringing those examples out. So this is very important when we're talking about words, because words, we're talking about words being life, and we're talking about leading a life of purpose and, you know, success. You know, if we can get down deep into the words and get the words into our subconscious mind, it's a very powerful principle. I mean, when we seriously think about it, it's like, you know, we study, and this is the fact of being careful as far as what you study and, you know, what you watch on TV. And, you know, as everybody was saying, you know, a lot of people don't watch TV. And then as Joe Dollar said, it really all depends on what you're watching on TV. But we really have to be careful and be really guarded of our subconscious mind, because, you know, this principle is so powerful, talking about words and words being a light. And it says words are a light unto our soul. So go figure. But I just wanted to add that. That was a quick thing that jumped out to me. I turn it back over to you. Everybody have a blessed day. Back to you, brother.
Always love hearing from you, Anthony. Great thoughts, sir. Star 6, who's next? Come on out.
Paul Hutchins, Patrick Action Jackson.
Jackson, how are you, sir?
Oh, man, great morning. Great morning. I was listening to all of the family members, and I just, man, I just got hit with the power of words and heard about our purpose and creating and also focus. And I thought about that focus, that follow one course until successful. And I was cleaning the house the other day, and I was mopping the floor in one room. I was picking up the other room, and I was just spread all over the house. And I said, wow, it's been an hour and I still haven't finished mopping. So I said, let me go knock this mopping duties out, go to the kitchen, knock that part of it out, and boom, boom, boom. So I was just thinking about that focus, follow one course until successful. But I also was thinking about the power of words and inspiring. And we all know on this call, we are champions. You know my saying is, the champ is here, baby, the champ is here. And when I say that, I'm talking about all of us. We woke up this morning. God blessed us to open our eyes, to wake up with the activity of our limbs. We won. We're winning. We are winning. But we know that champions get hit. Every time you're in a fight, be prepared to get hit. When we get hit, champions might get knocked on the ground. You might have a situation where your internet is down. You might have a situation where you have 20 people that you invited to a meeting and only one show up. And the one that showed up left their husband or their wife at home so they can't make a financial decision. You might be at a place where you're volunteering and everybody is walking around complaining and bickering. You're the one walking around with a smile on your face, but the frowns and the bickering is starting to infect you because it's an inside job. On the outside, we can't let outside circumstances affect us on the inside. That's why this call is so powerful. That's why this call is so important, because it's a wake-up call. It's a Think and Grow Rich mastermind call. We are family. We are getting armed. We are getting informed right now to go out here and serve and protect and do our best when we bring it to the marketplace. So if you get knocked down today, if your internet go down, because mine went down on me last night, but I'm back in the game. I didn't lay on the ground because I know the ground is no place for a champion. The ground is no place for a champion. Get back up. Keep swinging. Keep battling. Keep fighting. It's the end of 2015. That don't mean you stop. You're a visionary, you're planning for 2016, but at the same time, you're still living in 2015. A lot of people are giving up this time. A lot of people are looking at 2016 knowing that we got another 15 or 16 more days to keep this thing going. If you're almost at $1 million, you're at $980,000, you're almost at $1 million, you're not going to stop and say, I'm going to go to 2016. I'll make my million in 2016. You're still trying to get that 20 grand to get that million this year. Let's keep fighting. Let's keep being champions. Don't quit. Don't quit on me. Don't quit on you. Don't quit on us. The ground is no place for a champion, baby. Back to you, Paul.
I love you so much, Action Jackson. Oh, man, you literally lift me. Thank you for that. Thank you for that, buddy. Such a great example. Star 6, who's next? Come on out. You know, guys, isn't it interesting, too, just to throw something out there to think about? I was listening to Action Jackson talk just now, and some of the things that he shared, I've heard him share before. However, they still touched me. They still lifted me. They still lit a fire, right, when he says, the ground is no place for a champion. The champ is here. I've heard him say that stuff before. But because there's feeling behind it, because he means it, it lifts me even though I've heard it before. And I think that's a great lesson, guys. I think that's a great lesson. It's sort of like, Jim Rohn says, be wary of the person who comes along claiming to manufacture they've discovered a new antique. He says, no one's manufacturing antiques. Ideas and principles and laws and truths, they're not necessarily new. They've been around a while, and if they've been around a while, then that reminds us that in the words that we speak, we're probably going to repeat ourselves from time to time, and that is okay. It's okay because when we repeat, as long as we believe it and we feel it, it still moves people. If we tell our story again and again and again and again, as long as we tell it with passion, as long as we get the emotions going, it still moves people. So it's good to repeat, guys. It's good to repeat. That's another lesson that I think I'm just picking up from listening to Action Jackson talk. It's okay to share something that you've shared before if you're feeling it, right? That's, I think that's an important communication tip. So thanks, Action Jackson, for that. And let me unmute the lines again. Okay. Star 6, who's next? Come on out. Got a good 12
more
minutes left. Hey,
Jesse,
Bill, go ahead. We got
good
Bill
morning,
and then
Paul.
Jesse.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah,
go
ahead, Bill.
Okay, oh. Pat. Well, Bill Moyse here. Good morning, family. Good morning, Paul. Wow. I love what Action Jackson shared today. That's got me really pumped up. Thank you, for sharing that today. You know, I was thinking about the idea of the organized effort, you know, and the last time I really had an organized effort, I put together a team. There was about a half dozen of us, so working on a common goal. It took us about 4 months, and the group made $5 million, and my share was $1.5 million of that. And I've been looking for another organized effort, another team that I can repeat that, and I've tried several times, and it always seemed to kind of fall apart. But now it's gelling. There's four of us coming together for a common purpose. I have a PhD who's also an attorney. I have another PhD who's a pastor and a psychotherapist. And I have another guy who's a businessman and myself, and we've all taught at the university. And so we're putting together this training institute, and we're going to help people think right and then show them, you know, how to make money together. So I really feel really blessed today because this desire of my heart that I've had for a number of years now is now coming together under the idea of organized effort. And we really can do more, a lot more together than we can alone. So y'all have a wonderful day, and back to you, Paul.
So awesome, Bill. Excited for your new project, and be sure to continue to keep us updated. That sounds really cool.
Will do.
Jesse, go ahead.
Good morning. Do you hear me?
Yep.
Okay, I wasn't sure if I was unmuted. Wow, Action Jackson, thank you for that emotional share, because as Paul mentioned, it definitely stirred me up. It got me going. It really got me thinking. And also to you, Paul, because it's funny how you really, what encouraged me to step out is the fact that, you know, repetition is the teacher, saying, of wisdom. I think you know what I mean by that. But basically, repetition is so powerful, and it is okay to repeat sometimes what is needed to be said or what you feel or you're thinking or what is really sticking out for you, because that really is kind of the tell-all, that is what is the thing to do, or that is the thing that needs to be done, but that something's churning and talking to you from within. And I think that you're saying that repetition is okay and that it's necessary even is so powerful. And so what I kept thinking of during this whole call was how, again, we use examples to follow in order for us to kind of encourage ourselves and to build confidence. And an individual, again, that I have mentioned before and that has been mentioned before so many times in the industries and in business is Steve Jobs. And again, he was the visionary. He was the person who saw what could be done. But in all levels, it wasn't up to him, or he couldn't do it all on his own. He needed the how person. And that person came to him and that he partnered with. And when that piece got broken off, just like you mentioned, where, you know, if we don't have an arm doesn't mean we still aren't who we are and we are not the same body. We need that arm. And he needed that arm of his vision in order for it to be made to work. And so I think many times people who have vision sometimes feel a little lost and say, well, how am I going to do it? Well, there's where the mastermind comes to place. And that is real, real important, that maybe you search out, or you may have that person right in front of you and not aware of it. And maybe that is something encouraging you to say, let's build this together, this vision that I have, and you be the how person. And some of what I'm saying, really, you know, I feel so blessed that it just is coming in coming from within, and not really hadn't planned on what I was saying, but I just needed to say what I did because I was just feeling it. And Action Jackson really brought that out for me, and I so truly appreciate it. So thank you, guys.
Thank you, Jesse. Awesome thoughts. Appreciate you. Star 6, who's next? Come on out.
Taz Simpson.
Hey, what's going on, Pass?
Oh, man, just loving life, brother. How are you today?
Happy, now that I'm hearing your voice.
Yes.
Happier, I should say. I was happy before, now I'm happier.
I'm glad I could do that for you. I was listening to Jessie, and she just made me think of, you know, really the power of repetition and, you know, what I went through, you know, to get to where I can always feel happy and grateful. So I thought I would, you know, share some of the things I've repeated to myself, and I do repeat to myself on a regular basis. First one I had, Jack, was from Florence Kubel-Shin, The Game of Life and How to Play It. She has a great thing where she says, I have a wonderful business. I have a wonderful business in a wonderful way that provides wonderful service for wonderful pay. I have a wonderful business in a wonderful way that provides wonderful service for wonderful pay. That's one thing that I like to say. When I had some problems attracting money. You know, we all have problems attracting money, and then we start stressing and overthinking it. I made a little ditty to myself that me and my accountability partner used to sing every day to start our accountability session. And we would say, I'm a money magnet everywhere I go. Everywhere I go is where the money flows. So those are, you know, two little things that I like to repeat to myself. And then, you know, how we start our day. I think good. I do good. I am good. So I can have a great day. I'm happy. I'm healthy. I'm wealthy. I'm wise and do everything in a prosperous way. And then we scream, I love my life. So that's what I do with my children. You know, different things, you know, that just pushes me through and keeps me smiling. But they're always great to have things to repeat, little things to, you know, jot down. Everyone's going to have their own. But I thought I would, you know, share some of the things that make me smile on a daily basis as I get ready to start my trip to Vegas. So love you guys. Hope you guys have a wonderful day and keep on pushing.
You always bring the smiles, Pass. Thank you for that, my friend. Love, love, love you. Travel safe, buddy. Star 6, who's next? Come on out. We got 4 minutes left. Plenty of time for some more power as we close this call out today.
Coach Ray Briggs.
Coach Ray, good morning.
Good morning, good morning. Man, I just wanted to come out really just to say how grateful I am. You know, I mean, just from everything, you know, from, you know, Action Jackson come out and just, you know, just be able to feel the energy is coming out to the lady that came out and spoke with her, spoke after him, and just talking about, you know, the mastermind and connecting to something that just, you know, bigger than yourself, you know what I mean? And I'm just grateful for being able to be a part of this community and so many people that are living their lives in so many different ways, but prosperous, you know, and it just means so many things to so many different people, you know. So, I mean, I guess, you know, I don't really have so much of a share, but just really wanted to come out and express my gratitude, Paul. I mean, the example you said with your children and stuff, and it's crazy. We talk about the power of words, you know, just seeing some of the little different things that Paul talks about on the call as far as things his kids listen to. I've been listening to the William Wood, his CD, his audio, which is just amazing. And I had it in the car with my son, and there's a song that, you know, I play for my son. It's kind of a, you know, it's a hip hop song or whatnot, but just, you know, the lyrics talk about, you know I can be what I want to be if I work hard. And it's crazy because I see him when he's drawing or he's doing, playing basketball or, you know, just, you know, learning any new skill, just that belief and that words and just hearing that, which is, you know, I mean, just being able to connect with powerful words with powerful people. And I'm grateful for it. And I just want to come out and express that. Thank you, Pat. Everybody that comes out and shares, you guys really inspire me. So thank you guys. And back to you, Paul.
You inspire us too, Coach Ray. Thank you, man. Star 6, who's next? Hey, who's that?
This is Rita in Dallas.
Hey, good morning, Rita.
Hey, good morning. So just to set the scene, I'm on the highway driving from Dallas to Tyler to pick up my 87-year-old mother who's going to come visit. Christian is taking Mama Lois to New Orleans for a week, so talk about coordinated efforts to make all of this happen. And we came up with a saying last week that's been so much fun to repeat. I'm also a dog walker, so I walk a lot every day. So I started saying, and I want all of y'all to say it with me, even if it's just in your mind, but let's do a collective effort this morning before we end the call, and everybody say this to yourself. And then today, say it as much as you can. It feels so good. So you say, I'm absolutely happy. My dreams are already true. I'm absolutely happy. My dreams are already true. I'm absolutely happy. My dreams are already true.
I love it. Rita, thank you for that.
It feels good to say it because if we get out of the way, that's exactly right. We are capable of being absolutely happy, which means no matter what life throws at us, it doesn't destroy our happiness. Relative happiness can be destroyed, but absolute happiness, it's a done deal. And if we get out of the way, our dreams are already true. We just have to be capable of receiving them.
Such a powerful thought, Rita. Thank you for that.
Aww, I love all of y'all. Have a wonderful day.
We love you. Have a great day. Rita, with that, just it feels like she brought a little sunlight into the call, and it just reminded me of another thing that we can say along with that, which is, like the sun, I shine on everyone. Just like Rita came in and shined on us, just like Action Jackson and Pass and Anthony and all the other people that came through and shined sunlight into our hearts and minds, we can do the same, guys. We can be like the sun. We can shine on everyone. We can shine on our children and the people around us. Let's do that. Let's go forth and let's shine our light, guys. Have an awesome day, and we'll see you back here tomorrow morning on the Think and Grow Rich Call. Bye for now.
I'm absolutely happy.
Thank you for the sunshine.
I'm absolutely happy.
That's the life, though.
I love my life.
Thank you.
I'm absolutely happy.
Living my dream. Absolutely happy. I will accomplish my
dream.
Never give up. I see my future now.
I'm living my dream.
I'm absolutely happy. I'm living my dream.
The best day of our lives.
All right.